I'm taking my text for this Easter message, Luke chapter 24, verse 25 and 26. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In order for us to be Christians, and we are, we have to have believed in Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What I've done and am doing today for these Easter messages, to go to the events immediately after the resurrection. We are accustomed at Easter time to deal with the events that took place up until the crucifixion and his giving up the ghost. But this Easter, I want to deal with the events that are so significant immediately after he came out of the grave. And the message this morning will be walking down the road to Emmaus. But what I have here for us to look at just now and to bless our souls is actually the first words that he uttered after he got out of the grave. Now we're told that he was with them 40 days. In the book of Acts, we're told that he was seen in many ways, manifested himself. But what we have right now is the experience a few hours after his resurrection. We have here the story that the women had been to the tomb and found it empty. And Cleophas is mentioned by name here. There were two of them. And they were walking along this road, talking, and Jesus just came and joined them. We're told that they didn't recognize him. And he then gave these very first words, and the first word he uttered after he got out of the tomb was, "Oh, fools! Oh, fools! And slow of heart! To believe, we have to believe." And we're here today because we do. We are believing people. We accept what Jesus Christ did. Now, what I have here is a marvelous confirmation by the Lord Jesus Christ. You people are slow heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Whole record. Everything that you're supposed to believe, every bit of it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? That's what the Old Testament told you. Why don't you believe it? And to enter into his glory. These two women were troubled about what had happened in Jerusalem. Don't you know what's happened in the city these days? They said to him. But just look at that word, fool. Oh, fools and slow of heart. I don't believe there are any bigger fools on the face of the earth than the people who hear the message, hear the gospel, say no to it, and die without Christ. And hell's going to be full with a mass of fools. But Jesus said, "You fools and slow of heart. What's wrong with your heart? Why don't you believe these things?" And then I have here an emphasis which he makes for us, and I want to emphasize it in the beginning. I have underscored in my book here the word all. And I find it four times. All, 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 all. Listen to this. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's everything there is there. Let's just believe it all. And we do. We do. He put his hands on the scripture and says they can't be broken. Now notice verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You remember when he was here, he made the statement, "Have ye not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female?" Well, that's Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And if Jesus believed Genesis chapter 1 and said it was true, I think I can believe it. And we have no problems with it. All that the prophets have spoken. In verse 27, beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The first thing he did as getting out of the tomb was to say everything in that Old Testament is true and it told you about me. And so we are. I was upset this week when after church service last Sunday somebody brought me the Philadelphia Inquirer, our big paper here, and here's a great big feature on Sunday. The scholars are presenting to us the historical Christ. Well, we've heard this before, but anyhow, there have been two books written, and here they were, and these so-called scholars said that Jesus was never born in Bethlehem, but he was born in Nazareth. And they said he was never born of the Virgin. They didn't get the virgin birth until about 200 years after Jesus. And I read that thing with great disgust, and I wrote the Philadelphia Inquirer, "Is this the way you introduce the Holy Week for the Christians? You don't respect our position. You don't do this to the Jews," I told them, "but they just hit us Christians." And I said, "Oh Lord, do something." You know what happened on Thursday? That was Sunday. We picked up the New York Times on Thursday, and here was a full-page ad put in by some church down in South Africa. "And please read it. And everything in it is exactly what I preach." Here, twice it said, there's only one way to be saved, and that's Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to the Father. Big black type, New York Times. And the thing that amazed me about it was in the first section. I put some ads in times past, and they won't give you the first section for love or money up there. I don't know how they got it in the first section. And it was right along the section where they're dealing with all the politics. So I guess the politics got a good dose of the gospel paid to us by South Africa, and it probably cost them $25,000 or $30,000. But what I liked about it, they not only presented the blood, they not only presented the resurrection, but they presented the second coming of Christ and the awful tribulation that's going to fall upon this world when we go out. And then they talked about the millennium. As far as I was concerned, it was a good Bible Presbyterian ad, but I was thrilled to see it. And I immediately sent fax messages to these addresses in South Africa congratulating them to give us what we need just at this hour of our glory. And they did it. And I was thankful for it. But notice, Christ got off the tomb, went into the grave, got off the cross, into the grave, and then he came out. And the first thing he did was to tell us that everything in the Old Testament about him we should believe. No wonder we've got some Old Testament preachers. No wonder we've got a 22nd Psalm, "My God, my God." No wonder we hear from Isaiah, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Everything in that Old Testament that referred to Jesus, Jesus says, "Here I am, I came out of the tomb." And old Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine own eyes shall behold him." Yes, Jesus put his approval on Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, just imagine. Now, I wonder how long of a walk they had. It wasn't too long, but here Jesus gets out of the tomb. He appears there around the grave for just a little bit. Then he walks on this road to Emmaus, but when he met these ladies, he expounded them. Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus say, "This talks about me. Moses talked about me. My God shall raise up unto you a prophet like unto me, and unto him shall ye hearken." Oh, Moses. Jesus couldn't walk very far without telling them how he was described and referred to. Isaiah 7:14, "Behold a virgin." That is magnificent. The order with which Jesus handled things. Then these ladies, two of them, said, "It's getting late." And, well, it probably was getting late. It took some time to take these passages in the Old Testament and identify them as referring to Christ. Beloved, you and I are dealing with the greatest event that has ever happened on this earth. God sent His Son to take away the darkness of death. God sent His Son to take away from you and me the fear of dying. It's going home to die. God emptied heaven and directed that His Son would come down here and become a human being with deity in it. And the God-man would be here without sin. That he would go to that cross. Oh, he had 3.5 years of ministry before it, but everything he did was to demonstrate that he'd come from God. "The words I speak, my Father gave me." He says, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, but I'm going to give my life a ransom. I'm going to pay the price for sin, and you sinners can go free." That's where you and I are today. The glorious message that the Lord gave us. My, I hope that message was recorded. I'm sure it was. But wouldn't you love to hear that message as we walked along the road to Emmaus just a few hours after Jesus tasted death for every one of us? Cast aside the power of darkness, and he came out of that grave. That's our Christ. That's the one we live for. Well, will you go just a little further? As they got toward the evening, the women said, "Won't you come in?" As though he acted as though he's going on a little further. They said, "Come in, sup with us." And they spread their table. And then Jesus gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. Every time you and I sit down, don't you dare eat a meal anywhere, at home or in the restaurants, without bowing your head and giving thanks for that food. It marks you. It lets everybody know. But you do what He gave thanks. Then as he finished the amen, he just disappeared. Again, he went through the ceiling or through the walls or whatever it was. He went through it. Beloved, can you conceive what it's going to be like when you and I are no longer bound to the barriers of this earth which you and I deal with? What it's going to be when I get a body and I'll go into the clouds and we'll go into the heavens and we'll join with the elect of God. I love to meditate on it. What it's going to be like from one end of the heavens to the other when Jesus gets ready to come and be unveiled and put His feet on the Mount of Olives. He'll gather His elect with Him and you and I'll be there. We're a people of hope. We're a people of vision. We're a people of assurance. We know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded. And so we are. He's able to keep what we've committed unto Him. This is a climax. It's a climax. Their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And he vanished out of their sight. I was interested. I wasn't interested in it because I didn't like it. But I read the story in the Inquirer last Sunday, scandalizing all of our Christians. They had no business putting that thing on Sunday before Easter. They ought to put some sort of a story in the Philadelphia. I wrote them a letter and said, I don't like it, it's not right. And I said, if you'd want me to write one for you next year, I'll write you one on why we believe these things. Somebody ought to give us at this time a real presentation of what the Christians believe. A real presentation of what the Christians believe. But I was very much interested in the story that they had there, that these so-called scholars are dealing with history, and they don't have any history. Beloved, my Bible is reliable history. And this thing I'm telling you about this morning, of walking on the road to Emmaus, it happened. But I've said different times in the years that I've been with you, there's one verse in the Bible that perhaps is the most important of all. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul enumerates the different ones that had seen the Lord. He says, I saw him as one born out of due time. And then he says, there were 500 of them that saw him at one time over in Galilee. Some of them have fallen asleep, but most of them are still alive. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. That is a powerful verse. It's a verse that knocked these so-called historians out, these historical men, out of court. Paul is saying at the time he wrote that letter to 1 Corinthians, which has in it the 15th chapter, the resurrection chapter. He says, if you don't believe what I'm saying, get yourselves a committee, get yourself a commission, get yourself a delegation, go over to Galilee and you will meet them. They're all over there talking about it. They saw him. Go there and get the witness and write it down. The words that I'm telling you can be supported by several hundred eyewitnesses. Well, what more could you ask? What more would you ask? There are eyewitnesses in the historical record that give you, me, you and me, the evidence to say, well, this is true. This is true. Well, we go on down a little further. Their eyes were opened. And then in verse 32, he said, did not our hearts burn within us? Beloved, I want to tell you something. You're looking at a preacher this morning that has a heart burning. I'm preaching the resurrection. I'm preaching my resurrection. I'm preaching your resurrection. I'm telling you what's going to happen to you just down the road a little way. If the Lord doesn't come, these bodies of dust of ours are going to be laid away. You and I are fully aware of the fact that dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. We know it. God took dust and made our first parents. And we're all aware of the fact that when the spirit and breath leaves our bodies, it doesn't take long. We fill these caskets, and they, when they're in the bodies here, just give them a little while and they'll just be dust. Even the bones will go to pieces. But Jesus is going to take the dust that's in that casket, which is your dust, and he's going to make out of you your very self. But you'll go through the walls too. He'll make out of you and me the same kind of a body that he made. And all that's been burned or lost in the seas, if you mean to say that God can make the heavens out of nothing, which he did, he can speak the word, and every living soul that belongs to Jesus, he will bring them up out of the watery grave or wherever they are, and we'll have the glory that he had. We'll be like him. No wonder we live. No wonder we persevere. No wonder we preach the gospel. No wonder we want men to hear it. There's a warming in your heart. Beloved, there's no substitute for the Word of God. I had a man the other day came into this church. He's not here this morning, but he told me he wants to join. He says, McIntyre, he says, what I like about you is that you just explain the Bible a little more to us, and we like it. He said, I've been going to a church, and the preacher isn't any good if he doesn't tell two jokes in the middle of his sermon. And he says, I don't care to hear him anymore. I want this story, oh fool, slow of heart, to believe. That's Easter for you and me. Now we go down a little further and what happened to these women after their hearts burned. They say, he opened to us the Holy Scripture. He opened to us the Holy Scripture. I'm happy that he says, I won't drink this cup with you again until we come to the kingdom and you'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's going to be a grand celebration of the Holy Communion across the heavens. And you and I'll partake of it as we look upon Christ, as we see Christ. And we give our praise and our glory to this one, our Lord Jesus Christ. He opened unto us the Scripture. That's why when you people come into this church and you take that Bible out of the pew or in your hands, and you're waiting for the opening of the service, I see you. I see you open it and you're reading it. You're reading it. And whenever you read the Scripture, say, Holy Spirit, guide us. Holy Spirit, guide us. I have the custom of marking the Scriptures. I do it all the time. But it's good to have a Bible somewhere that you don't mark. Because when you read one that's unmarked and you read it afresh, you'll see things that your marks kind of covered up for you. You have a Scripture here that's open, it's living. And your experience and your trials and your troubles, you run to the Scriptures. And beloved, we read it every day. We love it every day. And that's what you and I get by belonging to a Master who's given us the way and given us these blessed Scriptures. Now they come on down after this. They rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is indeed risen and hath appeared to Simon. That's Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus said, stood in their midst of them and saith, peace be unto you. Now, all these things that happened here about the 11 alone, but Jesus gave them the word, he gave them peace. And that's where you and I are now. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's any question, any doubt, any little fuzz in your heart today, get it out. Oh, fools, won't you believe Jesus Christ? Won't you take my word and follow it and obey it and be the kind of person I want you to be while you're journeying through this little earth for a few short days? That's what I want of you. I have been reading some of these pagan reports, especially Buddha, and they're telling us now that Buddha is a way of salvation. So we got now two ways of salvation. Jesus is one way and Buddha is another way, but we put them both together a little bit, have a dialogue between them, and somehow or other we'll come out with a little more knowledge of the Holy Spirit. It will never happen. The only place where you can learn about Jesus is in the book, his book. The Holy Spirit gives it to us. The only place where you can read that Jesus says that all the others are prophets that are false. Many false prophets, he says. And because you and I belong to a company of believers now that are maintaining a church which is rare and unusual, you and I are getting blessings from the Lord that he alone has bestowed upon us. God takes care of you. God takes care of you. Oh, let me show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. If the Bible's no good, you can't believe that. But if the Bible is good, that is true. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and walked on the road to Emmaus and talked about the prophets, you might as well forget it. But we're the only people on this earth who have the truth. We have the certainty. We have this marvelous message from heaven. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, He emptied heaven. That whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? You got out of the grave. You appeared there around the grave. Then He joined the women on the Emmaus Road and says, now take that Old Testament, every bit of it. It's all about me. All the prophets and all the promises. And it's all about me, and believe it. And that's Easter for me. Every one of us, I believe it.